Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's January 26, 2023. This is Ask Us Anything. And so far, I've got Marie and Fran in the room. So welcome to both of you. We may have others come in as well. And of course, everyone's welcome to join us here on the recording. So, hi, Marie. Do you have any particular question you want to lead off with?
None. I'm only here to listen today.
All right. Well, I see Fran. Hello, Fran. You want to unmute yourself and say hi?
Hi.
Okay. Hi.
How are you doing?
Hello, I'm just kind of hanging out too, so I may have to.
You're both here just
to you know, skedaddle if I have to.
You talk about how you're on call, and that's fine if you need to bug out. And as I told you, that's fine if you're on a regular event too. Anyone's welcome to exit a call at any time if they just ask the allies, ease me out, I need to leave. That will never disrupt anything. So that's always fine.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just the three of us so far, and if neither of you has a question, we're just going to sit here and not talk about much of anything.
Well, I went back into the book, trying to get to the essence of the book.
All right.
And trying to memorize the invocations.
Yes.
So far, so good. I write them on index cards and make them closer to me.
Smart, smart. They say that if you write something down, even if you never look at it again, it triples your recall.
Yes.
Just the act of writing it down. So that's good regardless. Yeah. Cool. So I don't have any questions. So it's up to you guys. Anything on your mind? So Fran, you usually have a question or two. Is there nothing at all that you, since the space is wide open for your questions, do you have anything you want to jump in with? No? So Fran, you're muted and I can't hear you.
I'm thinking the kids are playing back there, so I didn't want to be too loud.
Yeah, so just in that case, just mute yourself when you're not actually speaking and that'll be fine. When you're talking, you'll definitely be louder than the kids. All right. Well, gosh, I'm going to pause the recording because...
Sustained.
So you're asking, is it accumulative the more you do it, the deeper? What is it you're referring to?
The experience, the feeling, the...
Oh, yeah, endlessly. My experience, I'll tell a quick story, and I've told this story before on Awakening Plus call, so I hope it's not too repetitive for those who've been around a while, but when I had my first, the lock-in awakening back in 2012, before that, I'd had some awakening experiences in ayahuasca ceremonies, and I would be awakened as long as I hadn't gone to bed yet. But when I went to bed and then awakened physically the next morning, the state was gone. And that was like very frustrating. So finally, in 2012, I went to Peru for a month and had a ceremony where the awakening happened, and then it was still around the next morning. But the state of being an awakening was so ecstatic compared to anything I'd ever known. I honestly wondered, oh my God, have I gone all the way to final awakening now? Because the ecstasy was so far beyond anything I could have ever imagined.
Wow.
What I've learned since then is that was just the starting line. And I've had many awakenings since then. And each one goes beyond the one before it. And they get to where you can't even put words on them. They're just so amazing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my experience of awakening is it feels to me like an infinite progression. So I'm not even sure there is a final awakening.
Wow.
So there might be. I don't know. I haven't got to it yet, so I can't speak to it. But theoretically, it's possible that you can just keep awakening evermore if the universe truly is infinite.
So you have to keep drinking it?
There's many ways to get to awakening. Many people attain profound states without using plant spirit work. So obviously it is possible. For me... I'll say my most significant awakenings have always come with the help of ayahuasca or San Pedro, because they're such incredible accelerators. However, these invocations that I teach come direct from ayahuasca. They dropped in during one of her ceremonies. And I've had many people who've reported to me the most profound awakening of their lives by using the invocations. I get that a lot, actually. So the invocations alone, even if you never drink ayahuasca, can have a lot of profound help to take you to a deeper state. So that's all in a roundabout way, Fran, of answering your question. Does it always go deeper? My experience is yes. I mean, I've been just with the ayahuasca work, I've been doing that work for almost 17 years now. And I've done around 300 ceremonies, ayahuasca, San Pedro, mushrooms altogether. And I continue to work with sacraments because they are, for me, the fast track. They accelerate my healing and awakening faster than anything else I do, including the invocations. I also realize that they're not for everybody. And some people will never work with a plant spirit teacher. And as I say near the end of my book, it's as if ayahuasca dropped these invocations for me to spread around, saying, ayahuasca say, okay, how can I help people who will never work with me directly? These invocations are available to anyone regardless and can have many of the same kinds of benefits that an ayahuasca ceremony would give you. And I know that for sure, because even when I work with people just in a shamanic healing or in Awakening Plus, I can feel very potent energies that feel a lot like ayahuasca or San Pedro energy. And no one's drinking anything, right? But, so the invocations make some of that. I'm never going to say that doing an invocation will give you as potent an experience as if you were in an ayahuasca ceremony. It's not the case. But they can give you tremendous benefit and more benefit than any other similar tool I'm aware of. So that's a long way of saying, Fran, yes, it always goes deeper. Don't ever assume you've hit the final anything. And because there's no way to know. How could you, one of the truths I believe I understand about the universe is a level cannot comprehend a level beyond itself. So how can I even know what's left for me to know? I sometimes say, I've awakened enough to be of some help to people who aren't at the level I'm at yet, but I know people who are beyond me for sure. And theoretically, one could go infinitely deep. So even the most profoundly awakened human on earth could still be a tiny fraction of the way to what's possible. Even the awakening of a Jesus Christ or a Buddha, might be just a tiny step into what's possible. Who knows? How could even they know how far they've gone? Because they don't know what's beyond that they haven't got to yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that may sound like heresy, but that's the way I'm thinking right now. So I want to welcome Risa. I see that Risa has joined us. Hi. So Risa, if you'd like to activate your camera, your mic, you're welcome to do that. Okay. Yeah. And Risa, both Fran and Marie tell me they're just here as spectators, although I did manage to wheedle a question out of Fran. So if you happen to have a question or topic you want to bring up, then feel free because the floor is like wide open. You got anything, Risa?
I didn't start with anything, so I'll pull something out of a hat shortly. Okay. It might take me a second.
This is so wild. We got three people plus me, and not a single one says they have a question.
I'm sure if we start chatting, we'll come up with something.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so if anyone even has just a topic they'd like to discuss, if there's not a question on the table, then we can turn it into more of a community support kind of call. And I'm sure questions will come up around that. We'll just see how it evolves.
I've been thinking about cats a little bit lately.
Oh, yeah? The musical or the animals?
The animals.
Okay. And by the way, your audio is very intermittent. Is there something you can do to help us hear you more consistently, Risa?
We'll try to stay closer, but I'm not sure what else I can do right now.
Yeah, because it's like sometimes I hear you and sometimes it sounds like muffled through cotton kind of sound.
I wonder if I put my teacup in a bad spot. Is it any better?
That is better now.
Okay.
Okay.
So I was at a lecture one day and there was a woman talking about calling on ancestors and things. And she said, but I don't call on cats. Because cats are so unpredictable and they're so independent. And I thought, that's funny because I think about cats. When I call on cats, I call on like the cat oversoul of all the cats. And it feels very helpful to me. But I can imagine how a specific cat would not seem like the most reliable ally. And then recently I was hearing somebody say that cats were very good at mind control. They had old history of mind control. Hmm. And that was part of what they were worshipped for, is their ability to kind of connect with humans and nudge them around. And I don't know, I just had that on my mind a little bit. It wasn't exactly a question, but if you have any ideas about it, they'd be fun to hear.
Well, the first thing, does that include big cats like, you know, puma and jaguar and things like that, or just little domestic cats?
I was thinking more about domesticated cats, but of course they have a thread that runs through them.
Yeah, because I, as you can hear, I call on several large cats when I call on my allies. So for sure, those are helpful allies, and those are widely used in shamanic work. I had a cat once who, I remember one time in particular, it was so obvious that I had taken, what was the head chop thing you can take legally, and it's a little bit psychoactive, Salvinora divinorum, or Salvia divinorum. And I took a hit of it, and I would lay down on the floor, and it felt like I was kind of tumbling down below the floor level, like in a sort of a big pit, is the impression I had. And my cat Cleo was on my chest. As soon as I took it, she was right there on my chest as soon as I laid down. And I sensed that she was saying, "Where the hell are you going?" And she would not leave my chest until my little trip had, wasn't a long trip, just a few minutes. And I came back and she was right there on my chest. And when she saw it was fully back, she jumped off. So, and that's also a cat who, and someone's got me turned up kind of loud. So whoever's got me really loud on their external speakers, turn me down a little bit. So to avoid the feedback, please. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And she would, when I was working with, like with a shamanic healing client, she would go, if a person was needing support, she would go sit in their lap for a while. So I had at least one domestic cat who was really super sensitive and was an incredible healer cat. So I wouldn't say that all cats are like that. I think it depends, like, you know, surely as much as any animal, cats have very distinct individual personalities. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't make a blanket, you know, condemnation of all cats. I would just say it depends on the cat. Like this cat, I think, was just amazing, an incredible healer cat. And to give due, I've also seen incredible dogs. Like there's this, the shaman I work with now has a dog he brings sometime to ceremony, and that dog is constantly going around the room, being with people. It knows exactly who needs support, and that is the most tuned-in dog I've ever seen. It's a little small dog, just phenomenally. I mean, everyone says, "Oh my God, what a perfect ceremony dog!" Like it's always exactly with the person who needs the help, and it's extraordinary. So, yeah, both dogs and cats can be profound allies, even the little domestic varieties, in my experience. And I'm sure there's some cats who could care less. Depends on the cat. So, for what it's worth, that's my rambling thoughts around that.
Well, my experience is a little bit different where I'm from. since we have people usually shift into cats. So we're afraid of cats. Because we thought that the cats will crawl up on you in the middle of the night and pull out your breath and your soul. So that's whenever we see cats, we stay away from cats.
Is this in your own tradition that you've talked
about? Yeah, my culture, from where I'm from.
From Haiti, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Actually, from my hometown, but I think most of the people like that, we act like that around cats.
Okay, I understand.
Because we have to think twice. Is it a real cat or is it a shapeshifter?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, a shaman can shapeshift into any kind of animal they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but usually cats.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have actual, you know, experience that, you know, your shaman shapeshifts into cats and they can do nasty stuff, then you would definitely be wise to be more on cats in Haiti. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now we have two cats coming into my backyard here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Long Island in New York.
Yeah.
My kids, I did not raise them with the fear of anything.
Mm.
I try not to.
Sure.
But I'm sure they will get some of it from the DNA.
Maybe so.
So I try to be as welcoming as I can, but as soon as they see me, they run away. I said, maybe there must be something in my aura.
Maybe.
That's telling them how I feel.
Okay, that's possible. Cats have high sensitivity to subtle energies. So if they're catching the vibe, this woman does not appreciate cats, then maybe say, whoa, someplace else where we're more welcome.
But I do everything that I can. I feed them, I put food around for them, I put water, do everything that I can. But
interesting.
I guess it's still in me.
Could be. It's possible. Do they come and take advantage of the food and water?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
As long as I have to be far away, though.
Okay. And some cats that are feral will just stay away from all humans. It may it may not even be you particularly. They may just be shy of all humans.
Yeah. Because one of my sons told me it took him about 3 years to have them come next to him.
Well, that lets us know that it's not just you then.
No.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Well, I see that Fran is no longer with us, at least for the time being. Mm. She had to deal with her kids. So do either of you have anything you'd like to get into? Any other questions about anything?
Oh, well, something comes to mind.
Okay, go ahead, Maria.
I know the ceremony that I've participated before. I know you're calling a lot of spirits.
Uh-huh.
My concern would that be if there would be a conflict between them and the ones in my family.
Well, are you perceiving any conflict in your actual experience?
No.
Okay. So my thought on that is, all of the beings I call are beings of love and light, high vibration and benevolent intent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're holding spirits that are of the darkness in any way, they might have a problem with love and light spirits because they may not get along.
Mm-hmm.
But you would certainly be aware of that, I would think, of any discrepancy.
I would think so too. But
then it would be on you to choose your loyalty. Yeah. If there's a conflict between any of your spiritual allies, you'd have to decide who am I choosing to connect with and which am I rather not having in my field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my own bias is toward beings of love and light, and I will not allow any being into the supportive field who is not a pure being of love and light.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I've heard that. Try to pay attention to when you're calling them. Say, let me see.
Yeah. So, so if you have a being in your field who is having a problem with the allies, then it's on you to make the choice.
No, okay.
You know, if there's incompatibility between allies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll just, be really clear. Awakening Plus is a path of love and light.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything to do with dark entities unless we're clearing them out of someone. So that's how we fly.
Okay.
Now I acknowledge. Go ahead, Risa.
Oh, I actually shared this once before, but there's a woman I work with who said she started actually asking the different guides to work together just as part of her opening. She said, can my guides work with my client's guides or my, people in healing with their guides, and just added that in as an intent and says it out loud.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My experience has been that if it's truly a being of love and light, they are not concerned with religion or sect or country or nationality. You know, all beings of love and light, in my experience, get along just fine. So as long as they're of that vibration, unlike humans, they're not concerned about the artificial divisions that we create down here on planet Earth. So if they're of love and light, they seem to get along fine with any other love and light being. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so true.
You know, the dark path is a valid path. And according to the Law of One teachings, about 10% of humans choose that path. But that's not the path we're doing here. Yeah. In fact, I've had two experiences in ceremonies, ayahuasca ceremonies, where I was given a free and clear choice to choose the dark side. And it was also clear that my higher self would have been fine with whatever I chose. The vibe was kind of like, hey, we need workers on both sides. You know, here in 3D, we actually need a certain number of dark side beings to make the whole thing work. But there was never any hesitation for me. I always chose the side of love and light when given that choice. Okay. What else y'all got? Or we could just sit here and enjoy the silence.
Get home.
And if there's truly no questions up, then we can just end the call early. There's no amount of time this call has to last. So.
Okay.
But I'm totally here and available for any questions y'all have in the moment.
All right. Actually, speaking about dark side things, the other day I was, I had an experience where I felt like I was breaking through something. It was almost like I had a little coating of like a chocolate shell or something that had been kind of stuck around me, and I just kind of broke out of it. And I was like, what is this? And why didn't I ever notice it before? I had an idea of what it was, and I kind of don't like to think about it because I would attribute it to a certain person that I hadn't thought of for a while.
Yeah.
But still, I was just kind of like, why didn't I notice this before? Why is it now? When I thought, you know, I felt pretty clear and it surprised me. Anyway.
I can definitely give you some feedback on that. I mean, just a few months ago, I found an attachment or an implant from a shaman I hadn't worked with for years. And I got a lot of benefit from working with him, but he also had some trickster and dark energy going on that I wasn't really aware of at the time, or only was becoming aware of when I was ending my connection with him. And my answer to your question is, you know, you won't be aware of something until it's time to clear it. You know, thank God we have an unconscious, and thank God that if we knew all at once all the stuff we have to work on, we might get really discouraged. So my experience has been that we become aware of, you know, things like that, shells and impediments and hindrances, only when it's time to work on them. And I personally think that's a great blessing, because it truly might be discouraging if back then at the start of this journey, I knew at that point how many layers of gunk I was going to be working through in the next 17 years, I might have just given up. I mean, if I'd known there was as much as there was. So to me, it's a blessing to only be aware of the stuff that you're working now or that you'll be working in the really near future. Yeah, thank God for the unconscious. It brings to mind, if I did this on my Awaken, Heal, and Thrive podcast, my first plant spirit episode, I told the story of doing my very first plant spirit ceremony with San Pedro. And I'd never done a psychoactive medicine like this before. And I drank the medicine and I drank the tobacco through my nose, which terrified the hell out of me because I'd never done that before either. And I'm standing in front of the shaman's mesa and he's rattling. And in my altered state, every shake of the rattle, it's like a whole bunch of machine gun bullets are firing at me, you know.
Oh, wow.
And there's like energy bullets is what it felt like. And not at me, my body, but they were coming all around me. And I became aware, I've got this shroud around me. What is this about? And it was like a dark, kind of like a dark shroud or blanket. And as he kept rattling, the thing just got shredded and fell to pieces and fell around me. And I said, I didn't even know that thing was there. What the hell? But once it got shattered, you know, or torn apart and fell off, I thought, I feel better. I feel more light and clear. And I said, well, that thing, God only knows how long that thing has been trying to me. I didn't even know. And so until I became, you know, psychedelically aware, I wasn't even aware. And that's how the medicine has worked always. You know, we, the medicine, and that's why I keep drinking ayahuasca, because, you know, I have no idea what gunk is keeping me from my next levels of awakening. No clue at all. Mm-hmm. It's beyond my level of consciousness. But when I go into ceremony, she shows me. And she, as she shows me, she clears it. I mean, I just did ceremony last weekend and a whole bunch of mental gunk got cleared away. And I hadn't realized I had been slipping into a little bit of cognitive decline and hadn't even really known it very clearly. And mm-hmm. she, that was so sticky. I spent the most of the ceremony just this, you know, I know how to clear heavy energy in ceremony. I've done it a long time. I have my techniques and I use them, but it was painful, unusually painful and unusually hard. Just to let the, I mean, I was doing my usual passive allow, but it was just so sticky and the medicine had to work really hard to get that stuff off and get it out of me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the cognitive decline stuff can be really sticky in my experience. So, but I'm much more clear now and functioning much better, but, you know, you just don't know what you have. And I realized after it cleared, wow, I had a certain level of amnesia and wasn't even aware of how impaired I had become. You know, I was still pretty much functioning, but little things were happening. And that's the way of not only cognitive decline, but, you know, just the dark side in general. Like I say in my book, it slips in around the edges. It doesn't face ahead on mm-hmm. it. It's slowly, it's like dust starting to fall and settle. And you hardly even notice the dust settling, but pretty soon you got a thick layer of dust. And if you don't do anything about it, it just gets thicker and thicker and you get more and more covered over. That's why in my book I'm so adamant about please have a daily practice. Please, whatever you're doing, do it every day, whether it's my stuff or anyone else's. If you got a working technique, then be diligent, because I've learned the hard way that I can't take my awakening for granted. And if I don't have a practice and I just assume it's all going to be hunky-dory, I start getting covered over and I start losing it. And I got to work to get the clarity again.
Yeah.
So there may be people whose awakening is just so rock solid they don't have to do any more practice, but I tried that and it did not work for me. So at least in my experience and the experience of a lot of people I know, it does require maintenance. Mm-hmm. Especially if you want to take it even deeper.
So do you conduct any of these ceremonies here in the States?
Ayahuasca ceremony?
Or do you have to go to Peru to buy the ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca? I am not an ayahuascaro.
Oh, so okay.
I myself do not do plant spirit ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
However, I work with a wonderful shaman right here in the Asheville area who does. Mm-hmm. And he does ceremony every month. So,
oh, wow.
Which is such a blessing. I mean, a lot of times people who don't have a shaman who lives in the area, they might have to wait 3 or 6 months for that shaman to find their way back sometimes. Mm-hmm. That was my experience for years. But now I'm lucky to have a shaman who lives right here and does ceremony regularly at a place he owns. And I get to go get, you know, cleared up and deepened every single month. So
oh, that's
I'm
great.
So fortunate. I and he's an incredibly good shaman too. So I'm just super lucky.
No.
So I feel totally blessed to have that opportunity.
I think so. Yeah. That's interesting. I'm interested.
Yeah, for
but
me.
I'm in New York.
Well, there's tons of great shamans up there too.
Mm.
I mean, people I know who live there say, man, if you know where to look, you can find an ayahuasca ceremony every day in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's tons of shamans up there.
Mm.
So it's a matter of sniffing out the local scene and finding a good someone you can work with, if that's your thing.
Mm.
You know, no one is required to work with anything psychoactive to be an Awakening Plus, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, it's been like the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by no means required. Again, as I said earlier, the invocations give some of the benefit of plant spirit work without having to do the plant spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not to the same degree, but they can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. What else y'all got?
I just want to quickly ask about your mind clearing. Do you also find that your eyesight is better?
No, actually, my eyesight is getting steadily worse. But then again, I'm 62 years old.
Oh, we are about the same age.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. No, my... then again, I haven't invoked better eyesight, so maybe I should. Hmm. But my eye doctor says it's fairly common at this age to start having little, you know, getting the vision a little less clear over time. Anything else?
Have you had any good experiences with other plants? Maybe not psychoactive plants, but plants you felt like you had a communion with?
Well, for me to feel a conscious communion with a plant, that really needs to be a psychoactive experience for me. Certainly, I felt that profound connection with ayahuasca, San Pedro, psychedelic mushrooms. But I am strangely for a shamanic practitioner, I'm not that nature oriented. I was not raised with a family who, like my dad, idea of a good time was to have the windows closed and the air conditioner on. He actively avoided nature. So I wasn't raised with that. I did go to summer camp a little bit, but, it's interesting. I can step outside and I can blend with nature and be one with the natural world and do that for just a few seconds. And I feel, okay, that's good. My particular, at least at this point right now, first, I am aware of all the evidence that being in nature is incredibly healthy and it resets you and harmonizes you and brings you to balance, and all of the health benefits are undisputed. And yet for me right now, given where I'm focusing, I need to be inside at the computer doing my audiobook or Awakening Plus or all the things I do to serve. And especially with my Aquarian wiring, I'm very, you know, compatible and comfortable with technology. So that's all a roundabout way of getting around to, I don't have a natural affinity with plants. Just, you know, I know some people who are just all into plants, even if they're not into psychedelic plants. And that's never been me. So no, I have no affinity with plants other than the psychoactive ones. I could probably develop it, but it doesn't feel like what I'm here for this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I completely honor those whose path is that. But it's not my particular bailiwick, at least not for now.
I love my plants.
I'm glad. Yeah, my prior romantic partner was a master gardener, so she was totally into the plants. Spirit Song enjoys having plants around, but she's not a high focus gardener either.
It's not always in the form of gardening, but just, you know, walking around, hanging out with the trees, that kind of thing, because they're there whether you garden them or not.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'm, you know, I'll occasionally stop and honor the spirit of a plant or tree, but I don't spend more than a few seconds typically.
I heard about a safari, and it was a plant safari through South Africa, and the woman was recounting her trip, and she said it was great because they were in this van, they'd be driving down the roadside, and somebody would say, "Stop, is that a, you know, something or other lily?" And they would all tromp out from the car and run over and look at the lily and take notes and photographs and everything.
That's hilarious.
That must have been great. What a fun trip.
Yeah, the last time I was in Peru just over a year ago, we did like a 90-minute nature walk just up the road. And there was all this stuff just growing by the side of the road that they go, "Oh, look at that." And that's what this one does. And so not quite an African plant safari, but at least we had a nice nature walk in Peru. And it's funny, I live here in Western North Carolina, and my understanding is we have more biodiversity right here than any other place on the planet. Mm-hmm. Actually, a greater variety of trees and plants than you'll find anywhere else on in the world. Wow. I'm still not into it. What's wrong with me?
I think that it's there in the background, even if you're not paying attention to it.
That's true. I'm sure I'm getting, you know, subtle benefit.
And New York has all the water.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I grew up in New York. I grew up along the west side of the Hudson River. And since then, and even since I've been away, I would sometimes have dreams of New York as a kind of, not just like the one island of Manhattan, but like a series of islands that would go up the river in the future. In several different kind of incarnations of the city and the way it grows up the river as separate islands. And, you know, once they started talking about the sea level rise and everything, it started to make more sense as something that could be. But I'm very deeply connected to that granite of New York. And I don't know if anyone has anything to say about New York, but.
You ever come back to visit?
Occasionally, yeah. No. I'll end up going up by Woodstock or Kingston, Saugerties, that area. So a lot of my friends either moved down to the city or they moved up. But in October, I was in New York and I got COVID.
Sorry.
Sorry to hear that. COVID is rampant around here.
Haiti?
No, New York. I'm in New York.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Brain fart.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. No, they don't have COVID really in Haiti. Yeah. But in New York, especially around where I am now in Nassau, people take it for granted and are really using the mask. And things are getting out of control.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Thank God I don't have to go out anymore.
I hope the hospitals are not overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
Well, I had had all five. I'd had five vaccinations. It had been a couple of weeks since the last one. I timed it all for my trip and for the seeing the children at work. So I just, I was not as careful as I could have been. I mean, we ate some meals outside. We tried to stay away, you know, when we were in restaurants, we tried to kind of make our own alcove and that kind of thing. But I went to a concert. I stayed in a hotel, you know, I even went on the subway, which I was sorry I did, but I wore masks on the subway for sure.
Okay.
But came home and where do you know?
Because the vaccination, from what I've heard, it's not supposed to stop the spread of the virus.
Well, it's supposed to stop you from getting super sick if you do get it, I think.
And I think I had a better time of it. There were seven of us there all together. Two of us caught it. My friend who had not had the booster with the Omicron in it, did have a worse time of it. She had worse symptoms. And then, so I think it might have helped. But I mean, either way, I was feeling a little safer than I was. And yet I was almost happy to have it over with. I was like, okay, now I can get, I don't wear tattoos, but I was like, well, now I can get a tattoo. You know, I did it. I'm over it. I could celebrate somehow. Because, you know, I stopped being as afraid of it. Now, if there's a new variant that's significantly different, I guess, you know, or more time goes by, I'll be more anxious, you know, trying to be anxious, but I'll be more careful about it. But right now, I'm not feeling particularly vulnerable of that recent thing. The worst thing was that on top of it, there was a flu and then strep and then strep again. And then my skin broke out. Reaction to the strep. So it's been a series of one thing after another. And the strep has been the worst of it. I felt almost like certain plants had brought the strep to the surface, which was weird. But that was another story that I'm not going to go into.
Well, I'm glad. Are you recovered?
I'm still speckled, but I'm on the way to recovery.
But you have an expectation that you'll heal?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
And I don't know any question to turn that into, so it was just blah, blah, blah.
I hope you feel better soon.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, at least what I understand about COVID is even if you've had it, you can get it again. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it just never stops breeding variants. But at least the trend is that even as the variants become more transmissible, they also become less lethal. So it's like it's almost taken for granted. Everyone's going to get it, but it's probably not going to put you in the hospital anymore. Unless, of course, you are seriously compromised in some way and you don't have good immune system anyway. So it's just, to me, you know, probably a super high priority along with getting whatever boosters or immunizations is to just be as healthy as you can and just make sure you've got a really robust immune system. That's probably the best insurance of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just another good motivator to just be healthy.
The tricky thing for me is like the reason I have speckles and the medications I'm on are because of overactive immune system. So I take immunosuppressants. Ooh.
Interesting.
Weekly. So that's been a concern. But luckily, the thing I'm really happy about is my dad has not gotten it. And he lives with me and he'll be 83 this year.
Oh, whoa.
But I sent him away to stay with my sister. He didn't get it. And so far, so good. And he was not being as careful as I thought he should have a bunch of times, but he's evaded it.
Good for him. That's very fortunate.
But as you said, Marie, with it being on the upswing in some places, it's been hard to convince anybody that they still need to be careful. At my workplace too, it's the people who work there take masks as usually wear their masks and that sort of thing, but the patrons, they're over it. They don't want to think about it.
I guess people are just tired of feeling cornered by whatever that's out there.
Yeah, the basic human psyche is much more present moment oriented than future oriented just by its wiring. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get people to keep a strong future orientation for an extended time. What else y'all got?
Nothing for me.
Well, I can give you a quick status report on Spirit Song. She, I don't know how much of this I've already shared in Awakening Plus, but she went to a knee doctor about a week ago. And he said she's got a little tear in her meniscus, in her knee. Mm-hmm. And if we're fortunate, it will not require surgery. But he gave her like a 6-week callback to come back and have it looked at again and see how she's doing. And if she does require surgery, the first surgery would probably be just a little cleanup kind of surgery. He calls it arthroscopic and see if that takes care of the problem. And if not, then we'd be looking at a knee replacement. And she's already had one of those and she knows it takes a full year to recover. So she's hoping to avoid that. But at the same time, she's got a lot of pain in the knee. That's why she hasn't been on a lot of the calls recently is just, the pain gets so bad and it's late enough at night that often the pain is quite significant at that point in the evening. So she still wants to be joining us, but her knee situation is making it hard for her.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. but I'm supporting her. I'm needing to give her less support now because she is now up for a couple of weeks. She could hardly get around at all. And I was doing all the grocery shopping and driving her to all her doctor's appointments. Now she can drive again. So she's more capable again and even doing some grocery shopping, but she's being super careful. And on a personal note, I'm editing my audiobook. I'm up to chapter 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did the recording several weeks ago. When both Mercury and Mars went retrograde for several weeks, it's like everything just kind of slowed down to a crawl. I hardly got anything done during that period, even though I wanted to. But now I'm getting some good time open, and I'm going to try to have the book submitted up to Audible before my birthday on February 14. So that's my one year deadline. With any luck, the book should be out by the end of February on audiobook. So that's my goal.
Good.
Well, I noticed the other day, speaking of things feeling like they're kind of getting back into action now, which it has felt like that for me too. Finally, things are starting to get done, and that's a relief. Yeah. But I also noticed that the moon had just gone over my sun a couple of days ago. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. And I realized I don't pay attention to that very, I mean, I don't really notice, like, when is the moon crossing over my natal sun? But I was thinking about that just, yesterday, because I guess it happened the day before yesterday. And I thought, oh, let me think, how different was it? What was I feeling? What was
Well, that's a classic way to learn astrology, is to watch the transiting planets as they hit various points in your chart and to see what kind of things happen that day. And you can observe just sort of the automatic influences of the planets as they move around and hit significant points in your chart. You know, conjunctions more than anything, because those are the strongest. And if you'd watch nothing but conjunctions, you'd start to learn the effect of the moving guys on your natal planets. So if you want to learn astrology, just observe transits to your own chart and see what's happening.
I don't know anything about astrology. I never feel intimidated by all those symbols.
Yeah, it's something you're drawn to or you're not. Because to learn it takes some pretty serious hours of study to really grok it for most people.
Yeah. And I don't have any problem with the data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I had to, since I was a teacher,
yeah,
a math teacher, I'm more attracted by the numbers, numerology.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're all wonderful systems, and they can all give you helpful information. So it's always good to work with the system you're naturally attracted to.
It's because of the numbers. I'm used with numbers every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But astrology looks like a different world.
It is. I mean, there's plenty of numbers too, but it's more geometrical, really, than just straight up numerical. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And my favorite subject in the math to teach is in geometry. Oh, yes. I love geometry.
All right. Well, there's plenty of that in astrology if you ever get into it. You got to go beyond just the geometry into what is the, you know, higher, what is the archetypal meaning of the points that are being connected geometrically, and then how weave all that together into a meaningful interpretation. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's interesting. unless you're going to do geometry from a shamanic perspective, in which case you shapeshift and you say, gee, I'm a tree.
And but the people who shapeshift in my culture, they really change.
I believe it. Yeah. Well, I actually had one experience in a mushroom ceremony where all of a sudden I was a bird just flying. And this lasted several minutes, and it was like a completely seamless transition. You know, I was Benjamin in ceremony, and then for a couple of minutes, I'm just a bird flying around unconsciously. It wasn't until I became aware of myself as Benjamin again, and I looked at my shamanic teacher and I said, was I just a bird? She said, yep, you were.
You really changed?
I mean, I don't know that my physical body, but in the inner world, I absolutely was a bird.
Oh, okay.
In the inner vision, I was completely 100% a bird and had the experience of what a bird would be doing. Mm-hmm. But then it was just a couple of minutes, then I was back as Benjamin in the regular 3D. Mm. Now, was I actually a bird somewhere out there? I might have been. It sure felt real. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's hard to know it sometimes. Was this in the physical world, or was this in the inner other world? You know, how hard to tell sometimes. Both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had experiences in ceremony like feeling myself become a jaguar or become a dragon, at least to mm-hmm. some degree. Mm-hmm. Or the vibe of that you know, animal was really strong, and I even felt as if parts of my body had shape-shifted into that shape or form. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have a mirror. I couldn't look at my actual physical body to see, but, you know, energetically, it totally felt like, oh my God, I am a dragon or I am a jaguar with the vibe when I was having those powerful experiences. Mm-hmm. So I've never shape-shifted to the degree that I'm actually conscious as the physical being having that. The bird mm-hmm. transformation was the closest I got, where I really was the bird, at least in the vision. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always amazing when you can come back with an insight from another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And just it can be so refreshing and unexpected because yeah. it's just so foreign to what you would be thinking as yourself normally. It's very distinct that way.
Yeah.
My father. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was thinking about the bird thing. My father and mother both did some different, you know, tested out some different religions and things when I was young. And I remember when my father took me to a meditation, and I remember I must have been about 6 years old. And I remember a room full of adults kind of jumping up and down with a lot of Kleenexes because of the way they were breathing. So their noses were running. So they had lots of Kleenexes. They were jumping around. And I must have gotten scared. And I kind of jumped on my father. And he tells the story. He said, well, I was there and I was a bird. Mm. I had become a bird. And all of a sudden you jumped on my back. Interrupted the whole thing.
So you became burdensome.
Yes. Maybe I sensed I was losing him. I was in a room full of strange people jumping around.
Have fun.
I don't remember what prompted it. I do remember the settings. But
anyway. Interesting.
Yes, you would have been terrified if you were in a voodoo ceremony where people get possessed by the gods and the goddesses.
I was getting possessed too. The only voodoo ceremony I've been to was with Priestess Miriam in New Orleans.
No.
The temple there, Priestess Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was beautiful.
Yeah. A lot of people fear of the possession. I was never possessed, so I'm okay.
Would never what? I'm sorry.
I was never possessed by any of the spirits. Because I left Haiti when I was 18. So right now I'm 62. So there's a lot of things that I did not get a chance to experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when I get here and my parents were not into it.
Mm-hmm.
Grandparents were when I was in Haiti, but not my parents.
Yeah.
Mm. They're very interesting.
I bet.
Mm.
Well, you were talking about pain, not your pain in this case, but I was wondering if you've had any success or known of any people who've really successfully dealt with pain, any methods that they used, spiritual methods rather than pharmaceutical.
Well, the healing invocation. I've had reports from people who have had just that simple invocation heal pain that has dogged him for years. So that's one tool. Are you talking about physical or emotional pain or?
Physical, yeah. Specifically. I mean, I know they're connected a lot of ways.
And doing good emotional healing can also relieve physical pain because it's well documented in internal family systems therapy that if you have a wounded part that's emotionally traumatized, it can trigger up a physical weakness and cause pain. And that's sometimes how a part will get your attention, is by causing physical pain in your body. So in a slightly indirect way, healing the emotional trauma can then get that part to stop triggering the physical pain and can solve the problem of the physical challenge. So that's slightly roundabout way to deal with physical pain sometimes.
So the spirits don't use a magic wand.
The what?
I would always asking myself, why is it that people in the spiritual world always have pain? Why can't the spirit just go and heal them?
Well, I think to be human is to usually have some level of pain. Even Amma the Hugging Saint, her body is riddled with painful arthritis, and she just lives with that, even though she's apparently a full-on avatar, just a direct divine manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some, false belief that if you're really a truly spiritual person, you won't be afflicted with any challenge. That has not been my experience, and I don't know a single awakened human, and I know quite a few, who doesn't have physical and or emotional challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Either because they've got their own processing to do personally or for the lineage, or because they're voluntarily processing heavy energy for others who they might not even be related to, just like for the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people have pain because on a soul level, they've agreed to process not only for themselves, but for others. And some of the most advanced beings may, in fact, be some of the ones who are experiencing the greatest pain, if that's part of their mission.
I know.
Yeah. And some don't have much. I mean, myself, I don't have a lot of pain, personally, at least, thank God, not yet. As my body ages, we'll see what happens. But my own path has not been to experience a lot of pain. I mean, yes, when I do ayahuasca, there will be the physical discomfort of the energetic clear I'm going through. But even when I work with clients who are in a lot of pain, I am empathic enough to sense it enough that I can feel what they're going through, but I don't suffer. Was I think more deeply. Now, if a client's really got heavy stuff, I might wince or make a facial expression because it is so intense. But even if there is momentary physical discomfort, there's never for me suffering from it. And I make a clear distinction between physical pain and psychological pain. You know, I can feel the discomfort in my body from a client if I'm helping them process something, but I don't have any psychological suffering because of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope that's a helpful answer.
Yeah, it does. But that's not going to stop me bothering my friends. But why should I go and follow through this and that when you're already in it and then you're not better than me? I'm always asking them that question. Why bother?
Why bother do what? Doing what?
No. Why bother being in doing this, doing that for the spirits and this and that? And then you're in all kind of pain.
Are you talking about in the voodoo tradition?
Yeah, I always have all that questions, all those questions for them. Yeah, but I know it's my own insecurities about it.
I only have the barest knowledge of that whole path, so I can't. I'm not sure.
I know.
Give much insight into that particular.
No, I know. What I cannot understand is why is it my soul keep coming back? So the same thing. When I did the past life regression, I was already a priestess why do I have to come back to continue in that again?
Do you feel like you have to?
Oh, I've been told many, many times.
I've been by your internal guides or by humans?
Oh, both.
Hmm.
Both, but I keep fighting. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Huh.
A part of me doesn't want to. I don't know why.
I am getting an intuitive hit on that. Is it okay if I share it?
Yes, it's okay.
I'm being told that you're ultimately to re-engage with it to help raise its vibration.
Oh.
You're there to transform it, not just accept it as it is.
Oh.
In other words, if you go to a higher level of consciousness than is typical of a voodoo practitioner, mm-hmm. and you come back in and you bring a higher vibe to it, then mm-hmm. you could be a positive force for the transformation of the entire practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was always asking for the guidance. I could never find the guidance.
The guidance.
That's why I went through different religion, different secret societies.
Have you ever asked for the guidance simply from your own divine wisdom inside yourself?
I was in too much pain to be able to concentrate.
Could you get that guidance now?
No, yes, I could because I'm no longer working.
Okay.
Yeah, my job was 24/7.
Okay.
So I'm trying to clear out everything physically, emotionally, every way possible.
Good. Yeah, because my experience has been, and so many clients have confirmed, that the best guidance you'll ever get is your own divine wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I would seek those answers within yourself, first and foremost.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to do.
Good. And again, the more you, and then the corollary to that is the more awakened you are,
mm-hmm.
the more you've done your shadow work, the clearer that guidance is going to be.
Mm.
The more gunk you clean out between your human and higher selves, the easier the connection is going to be.
No. A colleague was mine was supposed to get me to a shaman to do a dream walk, but it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened because she was not feeling comfortable helping me in that situation. Everybody that I talked to, nobody wanted to help me going through it.
Hmm, interesting.
There's
lots of practitioners and lots of ways to get the shamanic work done. So it doesn't have to be a particular person. Yeah.
I did get something very strongly though.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You're going to keep doing it till you make it fun. There's something about having fun that is going to release, kind of open things up for you. So whatever kind of work you do, try to have fun doing it.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, that's a suggestion, because if you can tune into the way to have fun doing it, that can open up a whole new avenue for you. Whether that just means like you're shaking to a dance and you're having fun, you're thinking about your history and you're thinking about the fun things about it, whatever avenue, whatever little crap you can find to let some, it's not joy, it's actual fun. That little difference to make it fun to do for you. That will open things up, I really believe. That was what I was getting.
Oh, thank you for the insight.
Mm-hmm.
To both of you.
And remember, the whole invocation idea is simply ask for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, I always go right to my own higher self, which to me is the most reliable source that I could ever go to. And I ask for the experience or energy or information that I need. Mm-hmm. And then I just relax and let the download come in, whether it's information or energy or whatever.
See, the thing is, that part of it, of the higher self, it's a little bit tricky in my world.
How so?
Because that part that you guys call higher self, that's the soul, right?
That's another name you could call it, yeah.
Okay, so sometimes it gets removed.
Your soul gets removed?
Mm-hmm. And put it away for safekeeping, because where I come from, the parents better do everything that they can to keep you to keep you safe and alive. Yes. Yeah, we move. Yes. Put it away.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like you have access to your own higher self, or has it been put away?
I really don't know whether or not, because it was my parents have somebody has done it in the family. Hmm. But from what is going on now, they say the Catholic Church doing baptism had removed it, and then now a lot of people are trying to bring them back.
Hmm. So that's for whatever it's worth, my own understanding is that part of you is above and beyond anything that could be affected by anything in the three-dimensional world. Mm. They may believe they're doing that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't ring true to me for what that's worth. So I my belief, for what it's worth, and I could be wrong, is that every human has a higher self. Mm-hmm. And that higher self is always available. If you weren't connected to it, you would be dead. Mm-hmm. It is the flow of energy from the higher self that allows the human body to keep breathing. Mm-hmm. It is the fundamental source. So if you're breathing, then you're connected, and your higher self is online, in my opinion. for what that's worth. Yeah. And therefore, I'm sorry, Risa, I wanted to finish the thought. Therefore, as an experiment, you know, we can all have deluded beliefs, and I may have some too, but it's always worth a try to see if something works.
Okay.
And therefore, if you wanted to try the idea that if there's something I want, why don't I just go on the assumption that I've got my higher self or soul or some divine aspect of me that is listening and responsive to my prayers and requests, and give it a chance to give me what I'm asking for. So you invoke it by making a clear, simple request. And at least my experience has been then if your human self just goes completely passive and lets flow in the energy or answer, whatever you called for, just give it a chance to come in and just see if that doesn't work. It couldn't be simpler. And, you know, your beliefs might be absolutely true. Some of them might be false. You just don't know until you
know. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is that there's a group of people out there that's trying to waking up. They've been trying that for the past 2 years, trying to call all the souls back and remove them from wherever they were kept.
Yeah. And to me, that sounds a lot like parts work. What they're calling souls could be, if you were an IF internal family systems practitioner, oh, that's a wounded part of you that we need to go unburden and retrieve and bring back into wholeness.
A segmented part.
Yeah. So whether you want to call it a soul or a psychological part, you know, there may be some overlap. Who knows? Yeah. Risa, I'm sorry. Did you still have that thought in mind you wanted to share?
Oh, yes. I think sometimes there's some confusion about the distinction about the language. So there's spirit and soul. There's the part that's inhabiting your body and the part that's your higher self that's not touched, that's indestructible, that's connected to everything else. And when you're doing the embodied awakening, of course, you're calling more of it into your body. And so which one different people call, I've seen it switch, which is the spirit and which is the soul. But there's the part that's inhabiting your body. And it sounds like that's what you're saying is somehow not entering the body properly, but the part that's indestructible is still there and still available to be called on. So I think if you think of it that way, as there are two distinct things that you're talking about, whichever one you call spirit and which one you call soul depends on who you're talking to and what the form is in that group, honestly. But I think there are two different things that may help kind of clarify that a little bit.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
And if you want to just get past the whole linguistic problem, you could just invoke, I now call on whatever spiritual aspect of me can hear me and respond to this request. Mm-hmm. I call upon that part to do such and such. And mm-hmm. then that just bypasses the whole worry about what do I call it? There's always a workaround.
Yes.
And also coming to me is beliefs can be like straitjackets. You know, mm-hmm. a person who believes a certain limiting thought, if they have a sincere belief, then that thought becomes their reality. It becomes mm-hmm. a self-fulfilling prophecy. And at the same time, if you have a sincere belief in a possibility, then mm-hmm. even something that seems impossible can become possible. Mm-hmm. Belief is so powerful. It does really yeah. shape reality potently. So I'm always erring on the side of, you know, one of my mottos is I want to tell the most uplifting story possible that gives me the greatest possibilities. And mm-hmm. if that idea fits the facts, that's the story I'm going to tell. Mm-hmm. Because if I believe in a possibility that's more uplifting and life-affirming and wonderful, mm-hmm. then that gives me a much better shot at having that become my actual reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is so important to watch what you're telling yourself. In a conversation this morning, I was talking with a friend who was saying, you know, in his particular ethnic group, people were basically saying, oh, woe is me, but in their language, you know, at least every 2 hours, you know, my life is woe, oh, woe is me. And it was an expression and people weren't really thinking about it, but mm-hmm. they were saying it repeatedly over and over again, just unconsciously and kind of not taking the words at their actual weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting thing, you know, what you say to yourself regularly, you can pay attention to and change.
Yeah. Monitor yeah. your self-talk and your self-thoughts and, mm-hmm. and watch that those internal thought streams and the words coming out of your mouth. I tell this story, I've told the story somewhere, but in one of my ayahuasca ceremony years ago, the medicine showed me that every thought I was thinking was actually creating a little protoplasmic being that would then wriggle out of my forehead into the room. And the job of that being was to do everything I could to make that thought physically manifest.
Wow.
And then it said, if you had been speaking that thought, it would have been mm-hmm. 100 times more powerful.
Wow.
So that was a powerful teaching to me. Oh my God. Actually, I tell that story in my book. So I would be, you know, try to stay awake enough that you can monitor your own habitual thoughts and speech.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are thinking or saying something that you do not want to come true, then start saying, okay. And stage one is just to become aware of it, and just having the consciousness of it may make it less likely to recur. Mm-hmm. And then you can start saying, okay, I now choose when I see this negative or limiting thought come into my consciousness or into my mouth, mm-hmm. what can I replace that with that would give me greater joy and better life-affirming possibility?
Mm-hmm.
Because having control of your own thoughts and speech is like a major step toward a better life.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was supposed to teach mindfulness, so I taught it myself and taught it in class too. Yeah. So therefore, well, New York City gave us a great training in that.
Oh, good. I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. So I keep monitoring everything that good. I say and think. And if anything doesn't feel good, I have to cancel it.
Good.
I have a teacher that taught me to cancel stuff. Just cancel.
Sure.
Yeah. And cancel everything out from the other planes.
And if you want to go one step further, then replace it with its positive opposite.
Yes.
Cancel is a good start. But if you've just left a void, then, you know, mm-hmm. you've got kind of a gap there that wants to be filled with something. And why not fill it with the thing you actually want?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's all ego-based work like we've been talking about. But then if you bring in your higher self and say, higher self,
mm-hmm.
please, you know, clear this habitual self-defeating thought and any spiritual roots it may have, and just flush that from my system permanently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start bringing your powerful divine helpers in, they can clear that stuff off in way faster than just the number of repetitions it would take if you're just doing it from ego.
Yeah, I think I have something like that from the book in here.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yes, my index card.
There you go. Good.
Yes. Yeah, I copied. Yes. I wrote all of them in here to try to move. Yes, memorize them and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's very much like a teacher. That's a teacherly thing to do. Have the index cards. I was thinking about
it. Yeah, that's what I taught my kids to do in class.
Mm-hmm.
Have your index card and then put it in the ring. So I did the same thing too. I have to leave what I teach.
Nice. That's good of you.
Yeah. And it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have to keep going on the computer to look or find the book. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, whatever.
So everything is at my fingertips.
Yeah. Sweet. So I'm starting to feel an energy that starting to feel like a little bit of a wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that even with such a small number, we've had a very juicy discussion. I've written down, I think I've got 7 or 8 topic points I'm going to put in the description for the event. So thank you all for bringing up topics that I know many other Awakening Plus members will benefit from.
You're welcome. And thank you for your insights, guys.
Oh, my pleasure.
And your advice.
I'll take the best and leave the rest. Yes. Y'all got anything else? Because we still have a little more time if you have any other topics you want to bring up.
Just finished to me.
You feel complete, Marie?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. And to both you and anyone who's hearing this, if you have any follow-up questions or thoughts, just, pop me an email, reply to any of my Awakening Plus emails, and let me know if you have any, concerns or questions or things you want followed up on in later events. I'm always open to feedback and input. All right. Anything else before we wrap it up, ladies?
Nope. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for showing up and bringing up such stimulating topics. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night. Be well.